Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Mom, Pop, let's take a look, see what's going on here. See, you shaved off a pound since we saw you last. Must be making room for all that Halloween candy. What's your favorite candy? Desert Island candy, if you had to pick one.
I don't know.
Come on. Life or death situation, what would you pick?
I guess Reese's Pieces.
Good call. I'm more of a Mounds guy, but I gotta say, peanut butter and chocolate, come on. Hard to beat that. All right, so tell me what's going on with you. Tell me about this episode you had.
Well, my friends were there, and then they just weren't, and I was back there again.
In the Upside Down. All right, so what happened next?
I heard this noise, and so I went outside, and it was worse.
How was it worse?
There was this storm.
So how did you feel when you saw the storm?
I felt frozen.
Heart racing?
Just frozen.
Like frozen, cold frozen? Frozen to the touch?
No. Like how you feel when you're scared and you can't breathe or talk or do anything. I felt this evil, like it was looking at me.
It was evil? Well, what do you think the evil wanted?
To kill.
To kill you?
Not me. Everyone else.
Gracious, oh my goodness gracious, oh my goodness gracious. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Can you believe it's been 2 weeks since we last spoke? 2 weeks since the last episode of season one, The Upside Down. And, not much has happened in the world in the last 2 weeks. The reason I didn't put up an episode last week is because I wanted to take the time to watch the whole season of Stranger Things 2, and I'm not one of those people who can do that all in one day, especially with real life getting in the way of things. But I'm in a good mood this week. Things are good. Without going into things, I'm very happy today and very happy to bring you season two of Stranger Danger. With season two of Stranger Things, or is it just called Stranger Things 2? I don't know. I'm going back and forth. I call it the sequel. I call it season two. I call it just Stranger Things 2. But this episode of Stranger Danger is episode 9. No matter what, this is episode 9, featuring episode 1 of season 2 of whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm already confusing myself. And that's not what I want to be here for. I want to be here to talk about freaking Stranger Things 2. I just finished season 2 last night, okay? I just finished it. Well, actually, I finished it Wednesday night. And turned right around and watched the first episode again. This is where I take the notes to give you the real in-depth. Well, I just take notes. I don't know how in-depth I go so that I remember where I was. So I've already watched the first episode twice. And I've got an iced coffee in me. I've got a Fresca in me. And I'm ready to roll. But before I get started, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for everyone who has subscribed, everyone who's downloaded. I don't have huge numbers, but the numbers I have are way bigger than I expected. Especially with, you know, this being its own little podcast that just started. Hopefully, the numbers pick up with season two being out there and people looking for more Stranger Things. Hopefully you find me. And if you like what you hear, you just go over to iTunes or the Apple Podcast, leave a little note. And if you don't like what you hear, go over to iTunes, leave a note anyway. I'd love to hear anything. I don't care. And you can check me out. My website is fansnotexperts.com. The podcast is Geek Mentality. This little offshoot, of course, is Stranger Danger. I'm on Twitter at Geek Mentality. I talk about all that stuff usually at the end, but it's been a couple weeks, so I kind of forgot. So what do you want me to do? Yeah, because I want to talk about this episode by itself, but I already know things that happen and some things that started in this episode. I already know what they mean. So do I talk about it like, hey, what does that mean? Or do I just go right into it and say, well, obviously, this is what it is. I think I'm going to go towards the second where I talk about I'm not going in pretending I don't know or pretending you don't know yet. Because let's be honest, you've already watched the whole season. You're not here for episode one. You're not here because you've seen, you know, just the first episode of Stranger Things. You've watched the whole thing. And if you haven't watched the whole thing, I suggest you stay subscribed, but maybe wait until you do watch the whole thing, because things will pop up, questions will pop up, where questions I have that cover the whole season, and I'll probably be sprinkling those in through every episode, but I have a few that come to mind that may come up today, but that is not where I'm starting. Where am I starting? Where am I starting? At the beginning, let's do this. Season 2, Episode 1, Mad Max. Obviously, this entire show revolves around friends and families living in Hawkins, Indiana. So where do we pick up the opening of Season 2? In Pittsburgh? Already I was like, what is going on here? We see a bunch of people running out of a building wearing these masks, you know, the old-fashioned, I know there's a name for it. They're like Frank something masks that this company created. 80s masks, Halloween masks that we wore as kids. And they run out of this building. And, you know, at first I thought they're robbing a bank. Are they robbing something? Obviously, we know they're doing something a little darker than that. But they run out of, and they get in this van and they take off and they're running from the cops. And there's one person, one of the girls sitting in the front seat. She's like, go to the left, go to the right, you know, go this way. And she knows to get them to a tunnel. She leads them through a tunnel. And, you know, she does this thing where she concentrates. It looked a little familiar. And the tunnel all of a sudden collapses. And the cops, they're, you know, they rip out. They slam on their brakes. They crash into each other. And one of the cops is like, what the hell are you doing? And he looks up, the one that caused the crash. And there's nothing there. Nothing collapsed. Whatever he saw, he imagined. And it cuts back to the girl in the van. And you get a little nosebleed. And my first thought was, there's another one. And she wipes her hand to wipe the nose away. And on her wrist, you see the little tattoo of 008. So there is another. All of a sudden, just with those simple couple minutes, beginning of this episode, you realize the world has just gotten a little bigger. But obviously there are others. I mean, if she's 11, there are at least 10 others. She's seemed to be the most recent one, probably the last one. I don't think there's a 12. But I guess last season, my assumption was that there were 10 that they tried and it didn't work, tried and failed, or 10 that, you know, died or something. And this was the only surviving person, kid, that they could do experiments on. But that's not the case. There is another. But let's not worry about that. In fact, we don't even have to think about that for another 7 weeks. Okay? We'll get there. Believe me. We have to. It's one of the episodes. And yes, there are a total of 17 Stranger Things episodes. And I love 16 of them. And then there's that 17th one. You know which one I'm talking about. I'll get there. We'll get there. We'll talk about it. Maybe the second time around, I'll dig it. I'll dig it. What is this, the 60s? Obviously, there's some good things in it. But while I was watching it, all I was thinking about were my friends back in Hawkins. So let's go back there. How has life changed in the past year for the kids of Hawkins? One thing is they don't constantly sit in their house playing Dungeons and Dragons. No. They instead do what I did as a kid and try to rip a house apart looking for quarters because they want to go hang out at the arcade. 1984, which means I was 8 years old. So there was Methuen Mall, which was there, you know, for years. It's now a shopping center. But it used to be just a regular indoor mall, and it had the Dream Machine in it, which the Dream Machine was a chain of arcades. And I remember my dad would give me a buck, 4 quarters, and I'd go in there, and I'd be in there for like a half hour at least, you know, just hanging out. We didn't have like the drive to hangout arcade when I was a kid, but these kids in Hawkins, they got it made. They got this cool arcade they go hang out in. But you don't want to just hang out there. You want to use your quarters, and you want to play games. And to do that, you gotta find quarters. So we got Dustin searching for quarters. We see Dustin's mom for the first time. I was like, why do I know that girl? Why do I know that woman? And she's a prison guard from Orange is the New Black. And I was like, bam. I love when Netflix uses other Netflix people and other Netflix shows. This is weird to say. In a much more innocent way, it reminded me of Cartman and Cartman's mom, where the kid kind of had a filthy mouth, kind of was a little punk, but his mom was just the doting mom. There was no talk of a dad. I don't remember. I feel like we may have seen these parents at Will's funeral back in season 1, but I don't know if we got a good look at them, and I don't know if it's the same actors. I don't know how they did it. But from what I can tell, in this season, all we see is Dustin's mom and their cat, for now. But he found a few quarters. He calls Lucas on the walkie-talkie. Lucas is bragging that he mowed lawns and got some quarters. They end up looking for Mike and find Mike on a different channel on the walkie-talkie. Like, Mike, what are you doing on this channel? Mike was hanging out in his fort. What do you think he was doing? All they said was, what are you doing on this channel? That's all they said. And I didn't think anything of it. But then I'm realizing now, looking back, he is trying to find 11. He's checking with every night trying to find her. But, you know, he realizes, hey, it's time to go. He goes up, doesn't find any quarters, ends up stealing or robbing Nancy from her piggy bank. She's pissed off. He's like, I'll pay you back. Heads off. They all bike to the arcade. This, again, the days where kids can ride their bikes anywhere. Now, it's funny that they still ride their bikes anywhere after the craziness that happened last year, but their parents don't know all the craziness that happened. Only Will's mother, she's the only real adult that knows
the madness that happened. And of course, it happened to her son. So while everyone else rode their bikes to the arcade, you know, Will's mom dropped her off, dropped him off. Drove him there, said, I'm coming right back at 9 o'clock and you are going to be there and I'm going to pick you up. Don't walk home, don't bike home, don't leave this arcade. Obviously, she's trying to let him get back to life, but she's super overprotective. So the arcade it gives us three different things. It kind of gives us some nostalgia. It actually gives them some foreshadowing, and it gives us the first look at something bad happening. So what does I mean? What do I mean by nostalgia? Well, Dragon's Lair was this video game that was basically a cartoon. And I got to tell you right now, the game sucks. It's an awful game. It was very hard to play. It was ridiculous because, you know, you play Pac-Man, you move to the left. The thing, the little Pac-Man moves to the left, you move to the right, little Pac-Man moves to the right. You're basically doing a choose-your-own-adventure game with Dragon's Lair. Like, there's all these scenes that have already been, you know, animated. Obviously, they're not animating it live. That would be quite the, that would have quite the strain on the animator. So there's these scenes that are already happening, and you kind of basically have to, you know, finagle the buttons and the controller enough to hopefully make X happen, but most of the time Y happened. And you turned into a skeleton, and you died. Can you hear that? That's my dog sleep, like talking in his sleep. I don't know if you can hear that. I thought I'd leave that in there. Anyway, there's a bit of foreshadowing in this moment right here. So, and I did not pick up on this at all. If you guys watched Beyond Stranger Things, the after show, again, spoiler alert, watch it after you watch the entire series. I realized that the hard way. He does give you a warning. Jim Rash is the host. He gives you a warning. But in the first 20 seconds, he mentions the cat. Not a huge deal, but I was like, what? So that's about the only spoiler I got. I knew it was coming because Jim Rash told me it was coming. But after that, he says, listen, I hope you watched all 9 episodes because we're gonna spoil things. And in one of the episodes, I think it was the one with I can't think of their names, but the actors who play Lucas and Dustin, they talk about the arcade. They talk about Dragon's Lair, and you know, Dustin's playing the game trying to save the princess. He fails, and Lucas is like, you know, hey. Maybe someday you'll be able to figure it out, but until then, Princess Daphne is still mine. So Lucas tried to get the girl. Dustin tried to get the girl, and Lucas did get the girl. So it's his girl. Foreshadowing. Again, not me. I didn't come up with that. I didn't figure that out. They mentioned it on the after show. And also, it was a future episode title, but the video game Dig Dug. Tunnels, holes, Yeah, I didn't pick up on that until obviously. Maybe I would have picked up on it, but I heard it in the podcast, in the after show as well. But anyway, there, Dustin is upset that he's not doing well at Dragon's Lair, but he says he's still doing well in Centipede, and he still has the top score in Centipede, still has the top score in Dig Dug. But he doesn't. Turns out someone else has the top score, goes by the name of Mad Max. And they're like, who the hell is Mad Max? And the guy who runs who's working at the arcade didn't want to divulge who it was unless Mike gave him a date with Mike's sister. Mike's like, I'm not going to pimp out my sister. So they didn't get the name. But while this is going on, Will kind of looks over his shoulder, get a little distracted. He sees something going on outside, like a storm or something, and boom. He's in the upside down. I mean, just like that. No one's around. He's like, Mike, Dustin, he's looking for the guys. Ends up going outside. Something drew him to go outside into the parking lot of the arcade. And he looks up in the sky and he just sees this big red storm. And it's almost like it's coming. Something's coming. Something is coming. And then boom, Mike just calls his name. He notices it. He turns around. Mike's like, you're right? He's like, yeah, it was nothing. Next shot is boom, the next day. And we see this newspaper, Hawkins Post. I paused it I read it to see if there was any, you know, cool little tidbits in there. Wasn't much. It talked about the pumpkin farmers, you know, getting ready for their pumpkin contests or, you know, rival pumpkin farmers. And I mean, there's a little foreshadowing. There's a little, it comes up later, pumpkins, obviously, but nothing much there. So it shows, you know, the day of Hawkins, you know, people just kind of living life because normal stuff happens in Hawkins. I yawn because I'm tired. We go over to the Hawkins police station where we see for the first time Mr. Sheriff Chief Jim Hopper. Jim Hopper shows up at the station and there's this guy kind of outside waiting for him. It's Murray. I forget. We'll learn his last name later. But it's this bearded guy and I know the actor. He's a comedic actor. I like him. Very funny. He's very weird. He plays kind of awkward characters. And he's like, he's like, Jim, we need to talk. And, you know, Jim's like, you know, Murray, I don't have time for this.
This isn't a laughing matter, Jim. This is serious, okay? I really got something here, I'm telling you.
Hey, morning, Chief.
Morning.
Morning, Murray.
Got any proof on your butt probing aliens yet, Murray?
I now believe there was and may very well still be a Russian spy presence in Hawkins.
Russian spies?
I'm sorry, Murray. Are the Russian spies in cahoots with the aliens? Or how do they fit in here? Because I'm confused.
I'm talking multiple reports now. Multiple reports, okay, of a Russian child in Hawkins.
A child? What are you talking about, a child?
A girl who may have psionic abilities.
Psionic?
Psychic.
Hey, Chief, what about that girl that made that kid pee himself?
As a prank.
What girl?
It wasn't a prank.
You got 5 minutes, not a second more.
I talked to a Big Buy X employee who said some little girl shattered the door with her mind.
I heard that story. Did you hear the one about the fat man with the beard who climbs down chimneys?
Then last month, a coworker of Ted Wheeler's claims some Russian girl with a shaved head was hiding in his basement. Ted now denies this.
Oh, wow. That's a surprise.
But it connects.
Enlighten me.
This girl, she's some kind of a Russian weapon, right? Barbara, she sees this girl, tries to help her perhaps, but before she can, the Russians find them,
Wait, you're telling me that Barbara Holland was kidnapped by Russian spies?
Kidnapped? Killed?
Killed.
Don't you get it, Jim?
No.
This has potentially international implications. I'm talking a full-on Russian invasion right here in Hawkins.
Can you prove this girl? I mean, has anybody seen her, like... recently.
No, but these are separate sources. Okay.
Hello?
Merrill called.
Wants you to check out his pumpkins.
Says they've been contaminated by his...
vengeful neighbor Eugene. You're welcome.
God, I'm sorry. I really hate to do this, but I gotta run. It's an emergency.
You gave me 5 minutes.
Yeah, listen, you know, I like your alien theory a lot better. And you want my advice? Why don't you stop bleeding those people dry and go home?
Look, right? I am not bleeding anyone.
Listen to me.
Try.
Go home.
So a lot of people view this guy as a kook, but you know, Jim knows he's onto something. He's thinking, you know, maybe this is the key to getting Barbara found. Technically, he's right, but Jim knows that he's, you know, the Barb's gone. He knows who this quote-unquote Russian girl is. He just wants this guy to stop snooping around. The second time I watched it, you know, the first time he's playing with his typewriter, making these noises. I don't know if he was doing Morse code or not, but the second time I watched it, I realized he's signaling to his secretary, his receptionist, to help him, to save him, because she calls in about pumpkins. Like, that's some kind of emergency. And at the end, she said, "You're welcome." So I realize now that he did that just so she would call so he could get out of this conversation with Murray. So I thought that was pretty funny. We leave the police station. We cut over to the high school where Nancy and Steve are in Steve's car and going over kind of a college essay that Steve's working on. Nancy's trying to help him out with it. He's like, "What's the point? I don't even need to go to college. I'll just work for my dad. Then I could be around for your senior year and we could be together. You know, I love you. I love you." And she's like, what do you mean? You need to go to college. And, you know, I wonder if that's kind of, I didn't really notice it there, but, you know, we see a little change in their relationship as the season goes on. But while they're talking, they also mentioned, you know, we have our dinner tonight. Steve's like, oh, we have to do that. And like, we blew it off last time. So what dinner is that? Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. But they get interrupted by this Trans Am, I believe, or Firebird or something pulls up Camaro. I don't know. And got the Scorps cranking, Rock Me Like a Hurricane. It wasn't the original version. It seems like it's a re-recorded version. I noticed that because it was a little too polished. But the kid getting out of the car, driving it, he's got like the kind of the, I would call this guy a mall rat. When I was a kid, that's what we called the mall rats. They had the long hair, they had the little mustache going, the jean jacket, the jean pants, playing the heavy metal music. Those were the guys we called the mall rats. I don't know what they call him in Hawkins, but you know, he's the tough guy, and he's got this younger teen girl about the boy's age, a little redheaded girl, in the car with him. They don't really seem to get along. She takes off and goes to the middle school on her skateboard. He kind of looks around, you know, takes the lay of the land and walks into the high school while a few girls ogle him like he's just a piece of meat. Inside the school, we get the first kind of glimpse of Will's treatment by other students, where he opens his locker and finds a little, that little newspaper article where it said the boy who came back to life, and it's got like X's over his eyes and they wrote Zombie Boy on it. So some real cruel shit from some of these middle school kids. We didn't see the same bullies from last year. We didn't see them at all. I was surprised. I thought we'd see them at least a little, but, we didn't see them at all. And then we jump into the classroom of your favorite teacher and mine, Mr. Clark.
Meets the human brain.
I know. It doesn't look like much. A little gross even, right?
But consider this. There are 100 billion cells inside of this miracle of evolution, all working as one.
No?
No, I did not misspeak. I did not stutter. 100 billion.
Ah, this must be our new student.
Indeed it is. All yours.
All right, hold up there. You don't get away that easy. Come on up. Don't be shy. Dustin, drumroll. Class, please welcome, all the way from sunny California, the latest passenger to join us on our curiosity voyage, Maxine.
It's Max.
Sorry?
Nobody calls me Maxine. It's Max.
Ah, well, all aboard, Max.
Couple things I like about this scene. First of all, Mr. Clark is like the coolest teacher ever, the nicest teacher ever. He's like very nerdy and he loves to teach. You could just tell he loves to give knowledge to these kids. And you got a bunch of kids, you know, passing notes, chewing gum, not really paying attention. Then you got Will, Dustin, Lucas, and Mike, who are just pretty much infatuated with everything Mr. Clark says. They love the nerdy stuff. They're into it. When Max comes in, Dustin's the one doing the drum roll because he'll do whatever Mr. Clark says. It was just, I love that part. And at the end, they're all ogling Max, who's like, you know, who are these four nerds looking at me? So I just love that scene. And that leads us over to Melville's department store where Joyce is actually working this year. Last year, she, you know, she showed up for some phones and for some Christmas lights. But this year, she's behind the counter working. Well, if someone came in. She's actually just sewing a Ghostbusters patch to a uniform, probably for Halloween. Well, we know it's for Halloween. And that's when Sean Astin comes in. And he's like, hey, you know, do these pumpkins come in anything other than orange? She's like, oh, let me check in the back. And boom, they're in the back getting it on. You realize, oh, Joyce has a boyfriend, Bob the Brain. You know, so they're kissing. They're all cute together. And he's like, oh, you know, we're going to come by later tonight. He's, oh, yeah, movie night. Jonathan is picking a movie. Hopefully he doesn't pick any scary ones. He hates scary movies. Bob, you're in a scary movie. You're in a 9-hour scary movie. So watch out, buddy. Watch out, buddy. So we cut over to Merrill's farm where Hopper is checking out the pumpkins. All the pumpkins are rotted dead. And Merrill's trying to blame his kind of quote-unquote friend, his rival, Eugene. He's like, look, Eugene started this whole pink your own pumpkin thing. He thinks he has it trademarked. He thinks he, you know, cornered the market out. There's no copyright on that. So Merrill was doing it as well, I guess. And That's why he thinks Eugene sent a bunch of guys over to poison his pumpkins. Right before Halloween, the biggest time of year to buy pumpkins. I feel like it's the day before Halloween. If you don't have your pumpkin yet, it's too late. It's like in Christmas movies where they buy the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. I'm like, what are you talking about? You have the tree up all month. But while kind of Hopper's listening to him, he sees a little rustling in the cornfield. Now, at that time, I had no idea. I was like, oh, what is that? And I never thought about it again. But looking back, hearing the noise that I heard, you realize that's Dart, right? That's Dustin's Dart. Dart has quite the story arc, I'd say. But, you know, he goes in there and he finds nothing. He sees a crow and there's nothing else going on. Back at the school, Nancy and Jonathan are leaving a class together, and they get a flyer about a Halloween party. And she's like, you're coming to this, right? He's like, nah, I'm not really interested. She's like, why? You're just going to stay home and read Kurt Vonnegut, listen to Talking Heads? He's like, that sounds like fun to me. But he says, I'm going to be bringing out Will trick-or-treating. She's like, come on, later on you can do something. And Will, Steve shows up, kisses her. They're all nice and everything. And Jonathan just kind of leaves. He has nothing else to do, so he walks away and leaves. The boys are outside in their kind of recess area, and they're watching. They're all just kind of watching Max, on her skateboard, and they're trying to figure it out. They're like, that has to be Max, Mad Max. Like, why does it have to be Mad Max? Like, look, this girl shows up. She goes by Max out of nowhere. We see this high score. Obviously, it has to be Max. And Mike is already showing he's not impressed. So it's kind of the beginning of Mike just having a bit of an attitude, being a little on edge because he misses 11. And I don't think he likes the fact that the boys are interested in another girl. It's almost like he feels like they're trying to replace 11. So it doesn't show that he's that interested, but they all kind of watch her as she leaves. They're like, oh, we lost eyes on her. Like, they're spying on her. And she throws a piece of paper in the trash and goes in. And for some reason, the kids are like, what was that? And they run over to the garbage to take out the piece of paper from the trash and read it. And what does it say?
Stop spying on me, creeps.
Well, shit.
It's that moment that the principal shows up, the same guy who almost got Mr. Clark killed last year, by selling him out. He's really the guy who started the whole thing of Mr. Clark then accidentally giving all Dustin, Lucas, and Mike's information away. So this principal man, he's on the list. He is on the list, but he's like, Will Byers, your mother's here. And they all seem to know what that means. Kids are looking at him in the hall weird, and I'm thinking it's just the end of the day, and she's there to pick him up, but it isn't that. She's there to get him, to bring him to the lab. Yes, he's going back to the lab. What for? What possible reason could Will be going to the lab for? Well, my guess is that, Joyce is overprotective, and they promised her, they told her, basically, you have to keep this under wraps, and we will help examine and keep an eye on your son. I'm not sure I could trust these people, but I guess if somebody's going to know anything about what they're dealing with, it would be the people in the lab. And all the other people are dead, so there's a whole new crop of people. Hopper meets them there. He goes with them, and they bring Will in. He gets some tests, and he meets Dr. Paul Reiser. I don't know if they said his name yet. I know it's been 9 episodes, and I'm sure I've heard his name. I've forgotten it. But Paul Reiser's character, he has a nice bedside manner. He's very, very friendly, very nice to Will. You obviously think the worst of him. And there are moments where you think in this season that he is actually the villain, or a villain, or someone who can't be trusted. But weirdly, He turns out, you know, okay. But that's episodes and episodes away. Right now, he's just trying to get to the bottom of what's going on with Will. As you heard in the opener, Will explains the feeling he has about evil, about this evil wanting to kill everyone but him. And the doctor just chalks it up to PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which, you know, I don't know when that started being diagnosed and examined and studied. But you could see that his character said, you know, we're still learning about this. It's still new. And Hopper's like, you know, it is a real thing. But in reality, they or the doctor thinks that Will is just kind of imagining this. And this is just kind of flashbacks that he's having because it's been about a year. They call the anniversary effect, I believe. Or the anniversary event, basically, where, you know, it's been a year. So things, you know, he may act out. He may have, some relapses. And basically he's like, look, those people, those bad people, they're gone. They're all gone. And I'm here now. I've taken over and you're going to have to trust me. And off the bat, obviously, we don't trust him. Hopper doesn't trust him. Joyce doesn't trust him. But they see no other, they don't have anything else they have to do. They have to, you know, at least have Will looked at. Hopefully they can find some answers. You know, when they're leaving, you see Paul Reiser kind of watching from afar, gives a little wave, and Hopper just kind of looks at him. And you realize, well, that made me think like, this guy's a little bit of a creep. And a woman comes up and says, you know, they're ready. He goes in, goes down to the gate, and you think, oh, yeah, the season ended. She killed I want to say Gargamel, because I completely forgot. But the Demogorgon, Eleven took care of that. But the gate is still there. So he, like, you know, real relaxed. He's like, hey, getting ready to do more to like, this soldier, and he's like, yeah, another day at work. Kind of like, you know, it's just a regular thing they do. Soldier has this giant flamethrower, and he starts burning into the gate. And it's these tentacles start moving around, and you realize this thing is alive. So not only is Will not over with the Upside Down, but the Hawkins Lab is not over with the gate or the Upside Down. We cut back to Dustin and Lucas, and they're basically staking out the arcade. They have binoculars and they're kind of talking about, they're looking to see if this Max girl goes to the arcade and could be the Mad Max. You can tell they both like her. And she does show up. She gets dropped off by her brother, we could say at this moment, because we don't know anything more. They seem to be arguing. He just rips off and leaves and she goes into the arcade and they see her playing Dig Dug and they realize how incredible she is. Maxine Max is Mad Max. Cut back over to Mike's house and he's having dinner with his family and they, you know, they're saying you need to make 2 boxes of toys to give to the yard sale. He's like, 2 boxes? Some of these toys have sentimental value to me. Obviously, I think he's talking about the stuff he shared with Eleven, the Millennium Falcon, all that stuff. And his parents kind of not lay into him, but they give him a hard time because it seems like Mike's been acting out. He's been graffitiing things. He, something with school, stealing money from Nancy's piggy bank. And when he graffiti, he's like, everyone graffitis. And his dad's like, if everyone jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? And I'm like, yeah, Dad, he would. He jumped off a cliff for his friend. So yeah, he would, Dad. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, Nancy's not with him because she's with Steve. Remember that dinner they talked about earlier? Well, they're getting it right now at Barb's house.
So I noticed a for sale sign out in your yard. Is that the neighbors or you want to tell them?
Go ahead.
We hired a man named Murray Bauman. Have either of you heard of him?
No.
No, I don't think so.
He was an investigative journalist for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Pretty well known.
Anyway, he's freelance now, and he agreed to take the case.
Oh, that's...
That's great. That's really, that's great, right?
What exactly does that mean?
It means he's gonna do with that lazy son of a bitch, Jim Hoffman. Sorry. What the Hawkins police haven't been capable of doing. It means we have a real detective on the case.
It means we're going to find our Barb.
If anyone can find her, it's this man. He already has leads. By God, he's worth every last penny.
Is that why you're selling the house?
Oh, don't worry about us, sweetie. We're fine. More than fine. For the first time in a long time, we're hopeful.
You just feel so bad for them because Nancy and Steve know the truth. Hopper knows the truth. But Barb's parents hold out hope. So that's that Murray guy who was with Jim earlier. Murray Bauman, I believe, the investigative journalist who is there to try to help find Barb. And if you've watched the entire season like I did, you realize he sort of kind of does solve the case, or at least bring closure to the case, or helps with it. He absolutely does. But Nancy excuses herself, goes to the bathroom, and there's another picture of Barb. And there's pictures of Barb everywhere, and she just loses it, starts crying. You can tell she's filled with regret. She's just really, really sad. Back over at her house, Mike is throwing away some of the toys. And, you know, he comes across the Millennium Falcon, like I was mentioning before, and just kind of looks at it, and he thinks of course, we know who, Eleven, gets on the walkie-talkie one more time, goes into the little fort, which he never stopped. He kept there. It's still there. And he's like, you know, Ellie, you out there? It's day 352. You know, he obviously counts every day and checks on her every day. He walks away and he hears her voice. She says, Mike. And he runs back. But this time it's Dustin. He's like, what are you doing on this channel again? He's like, nothing, never mind. I don't think that other boys ever really figured out what he was doing, or they never talked about it. But they're telling him, you know, that Max is Max. And, you know, Mike just blows him off. But Dustin looks around their bikes, and you can tell they're hinting at wanting to bring Max into the group. And they're like, they don't think Mike's going to like it. But Dustin's like, look, we're a democracy or whatever. We're not a, you know, there's no king in the group. So he'll make it work. And they're like, good night. You know, Dustin does his thing that totally freaks Lucas out. And, Dustin goes home and he hears this little rustle near his garbage. Hears the noise, the same noise that Hopper heard. So you know that Hopper first saw that little dart character, little monster, or heard it in the fields. And I mean, I say that maybe it wasn't dart. Maybe there was other ones because we know there are other ones. Anyway, Dustin's, you know, looking for his cat. Thinking it's the cat, doesn't hear anything else, goes in the house. So that's the end of that. But we know the garbage can moves. We know something else is coming up. Over at the buyer's house, it's movie night. Bob the Brain, which is what Hopper calls him, because you could tell earlier Hopper mentioned it. And it's a little like, he's like, oh yeah, that's what I used to call him. Or you realize they all went to high school together. They all grew up. They all lived in Hawkins together. And Mike's got his video camera out. I mean, this is 1984, and I mean, it's an early VHS camcorder. Actually, it wasn't even a VHS camcorder. It was a smaller tape. I remember, you know, like, I was the camcorder kid growing up. I always had, you know, my dad worked at a school. They had a camcorder, and he would bring it home on the weekends for me to play with and mess around with, and they finally bought me one. It was the family camcorder, but it never left my room, never left my side. But that was like 1992 that I had my own camcorder. This is 1984. My thing was full VHS, which was awesome. I could take it up, pop it right in the VCR. But 1984, when I was a kid, I remember my uncle having a video camera that he had the camera, and then it was almost like a full VCR. that you put the tape in, that he, it was like a bag, like he wore that over his shoulder and it was attached to the camera. That's a million years ago, but that was my first, like, oh my God, I can get on television. And of course I was an idiot hamming it up in front of the camera, but just seeing Bob with a video camera just brought me back. But anyway, he's just filming Joyce while Joyce is, I think, making popcorn, Jiffy Pop, again, classic 80s popcorn, getting ready for movie night. And Jonathan goes into Will's room, and he's like, hey, you know, I got some movies here. You want to make a pick? And he sees Will drawing.
What are you working on? Zombie Boy. Who's Zombie Boy?
Me.
Did someone call you that? Hey, you can talk to me. You know that, right? Whatever happened. Will, come on, talk to me.
Stop treating me like that.
What, like what?
Like everyone else does. Like there's something wrong with me.
What are you talking about?
Mom, Dustin, Lucas, everyone. They all treat me like I'm gonna break. Like I'm a baby. Like I can't handle things on my own. It doesn't help. It just makes me feel like more of a freak.
You're not a freak.
Yeah, I am. I am.
You know what? You're right. You are a freak.
What?
No, I'm serious. You're a freak. But what? Do you want to be normal? Do you want to be just like everyone else? Being a freak is the best, all right? I'm a freak.
Is that why you don't have any friends?
I have friends, Will.
Then why are you always hanging out with me?
Because you're my best friend. And I would rather be best friends with Zombie Boy than with a boring nobody. You know what I mean? Okay, look. Who would you rather be friends with? Bowie or Kenny Rogers?
Oh.
Exactly. It's no contest. The thing is, nobody normal ever accomplished anything meaningful in this world. Got it?
Well, some people like Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers? I love Kenny Rogers. So funny.
Nothing.
I like that because it did a few things. It gave us, Will pretty much just wanting to be treated normal. It gave us Jonathan showing, hey, look, you know, things are weird, but it's okay to be weird. It's cool to be weird. And it showed Bob as like straight-laced Bob, who obviously loves Kenny Rogers, then goes in and sees the movies. Sees Mr. Mom, and he's like, great! So that's where they end up watching. This season, what this season showed me, and I don't know the character's name. I think it's Noah is the actor's name, but I could be wrong. The kid who plays Will is a great little actor. Season one, you didn't get enough of him. Season two, he gets some really awesome moments, and kudos to this kid, because he was awesome when he was frightened. The frightened look when he was kind of possessed, and just when he's just a regular kid, like this, but the fright that this kid can show in his eyes, whether he's really freaking out or whether he's just wide-eyed and scared, terrific. Kid was awesome. While they're watching the movie, the phone rings, and Joyce, you could see the panic in her eyes, and you realize, just a little homage to season one, that, you know, the phone was so traumatic. Because that was like how Will was trying to get through to her. So, you know, Bob's like, just let it ring. Who cares? But, it was just a nice little moment, a nice little homage to the first one. You realize Joyce, you know, she ain't over it either. And that's me speaking proper English. She ain't over it either. And we cut over to the lab, and I see this guy, lab tech, and he's just kind of, you know, bouncing a ball. I think he was bouncing a ball. I'm having flashbacks of Wayne Knight Newman in Jurassic Park, which kind of reminded me of that. And all of a sudden, all these panels, instrument panels, just start lighting up. And they're obviously monitoring the Upside Down. So this has something to do with the Upside Down. At the same time, Will wakes up in the middle of the night, goes to the bathroom. And the moment he went to the bathroom, I was like, I'm watching it. I wrote down, great, now I have to go to the bathroom. Which I did at the time, just wanted to let you know. But he starts hearing the storm, It's interesting because it's not an instant flash of him being the upside down. He's in his house. Everything looks fine. He sees this, hears the storm. He goes out to the living, like to the main living area, and kind of looks out the window. And, you know, it's like something's drawing him. And the door slowly opens and you see the goosebumps on the back of his neck stand up and the hair on the back of his neck stand up. And it's this very dark storm going on outside. And as he walks outside, you realize now he's in the upside down. And he's, you know, looking off into the distance. And before he just saw the storm, this time he sees this giant shadowy spider-like thing just kind of etching towards him. And you just see that, as I said before, this awesome fright in his eyes. But we cut away from that, and the last scene of the episode is Hopper. He pulls up to this, you know, into the woods, ends up stepping over a trip line, goes into this, up to this cabin, gives this, like, secret little knock, ends up going into the cabin, sees TV on, sees some food out, gets himself a beer. You realize that this is must be his cabin, but someone else is there. Someone else is living there. And he looks over at the, you know, walks over to the kitchen table to have some dinner, and he sees that there's two TV dinners there, and there's also what appears to be a half-eaten Eggo waffle.
Hey, what do we talk about? What?
No signal. It's 815. You're late.
Yeah, I lost track of time. I'll signal next time, all right? And it's 815. It's not 815.
815.
Now, what do we talk about? Dinner first, then dessert. Always. That's a rule. Yeah.
Yes.
Eleven! Of course Eleven's alive. Of course Eleven is still with us. But she's living with Jim Hopper? And she's got long hair? Or longer hair? How the hell did that happen? Well, we're not going to find out today because that is the end of episode one of season two of Stranger Things, titled Mad Max. Now, what did we learn? Well, we learned that Will is still connected to the upside down. Whereas before he was pulled into it, now there seems to be some sort of connection that he is slipping back and forth. He is going to help for it at the lab, but they kind of think it's just, you know, visions and memories. But we know it's not. We know it's real. There's something out there. There is some kind of big spooky monster that seems to be getting closer. At the same time, the boys, you know, two of the boys are infatuated with a new girl who came to town. And Mike, he's not really interested in her. He's interested in finding Eleven every day. For the past 352 days, he's been reaching out to her. Sounds like she talked back, but, you know, we don't, we didn't get more than just Mike, but it was definitely her voice. And we know she's alive because she lives with Hopper. Now, over at the lab, they're working on the gate. They have people monitoring it 24 hours a day. They seem to be burning it, trying to keep it back. But at the same time, something's happening in Hawkins. Like pumpkins are being rotted out. And there seems to be something out there is making these little noises. There's some kind of creature out there. A Hopper heard one in the cornfield. Dustin Seems like he heard one in his house. Then we got Nancy and Steve, who are, you know, trying to keep a relationship, you know, seem to be in love. Nancy's friendly with Jonathan still. But Steve and Nancy actually end up going over to Barb's house, and Barb's parents hired an investigator to look more into Barb's disappearance. And he's making some connections of a Russian girl. So he's onto something. He's not quite right, but he's onto something. I think that basically covers it. Got Jonathan, got Joyce, got new girl Max, Mike, Dustin, Lucas, 11, Hopper, new Bob. I think that covers everybody, Steve and Nancy, and Barb. Well, her family. That pretty much covered the first episode. There was a lot. I started watching this last week. And I went back to watch again for the first time, well, the second time. And I'm like, wow, they've packed a lot into this first episode. I was like, I didn't realize this was, I forgot this was all in the first episode. And again, I only just watched it a week ago. Now, you watch the whole episode, you watch the whole season. So this is not something I'm going to wait to the end for. In season one of Stranger Things, Hopper sold 11 out, didn't he? He basically told Matthew Modine, he told Brenner where they were so that they could get 11 and spare the kids as long as he would be able to go into the Upside Down and go get and look for Will. I always thought he put the egos out there because he felt guilty of that. Now, he appears to be living, well, he not appears to be, he's living with 11. And we all know where that how this came to be, and we'll talk about it in future episodes. And I thought maybe it would come up at some point in this whole season. You've watched the whole season. Spoilers, obviously. It doesn't come up at all. Now, I saw on Twitter that some people have brought that up. And I can't imagine that something like this would completely be ignored. It doesn't bother me that much. I don't like conflict. I like when characters all get along. I like when good characters are good to good characters and nobody betrays anyone. But I wonder if that's something that they're going to address in the third season. And in a way, I hope it is. Because obviously Hopper and 11 will be together in the third season as well. But I just hope that's something they address. That is really the only thing that I'm going to talk about that isn't specific to this episode or any episode. And really, this episode started off with, I mean, kicked off the season with a bang. Right? So, hey, I know you watched it. Watch it again. It's really good. And I can't wait to talk about the second episode. But that is next Friday, my friends. And until then, thank you very much for listening, for subscribing, for downloading, however you're finding me, whether it's Stitcher, Google Play, because I guess people do that, iTunes, or, you know, I use a podcast app that is none of the above, but I think it just taps into the iTunes store because that's how I subscribed. But if you don't use iTunes, you know, go over to the iTunes website if you can. I don't even know if you can do this, and leave a review. And just think of the nicest thing you could say to anybody, or look for a really nice review and copy and paste it. I don't care. Once again, just to give you all the details, my name is Mike. You can find me on Twitter at Geek Mentality. The website is called Fans Not Experts. The podcast is called Stranger Danger, but it's part of Geek Mentality. So all episodes are available on Geek Mentality if you're already subscribed. But if you're not, thank you for subscribing specifically to Stranger Danger. If you do subscribe to Geek Mentality, you get all the Stranger Danger episodes. And you get all my movie month episodes, which are every June I do 30 movies in 30 days. And then I try to do a podcast every so often to keep things going. But, like November, I'm obviously going to be doing a Justice League episode. I have to. But right now, my main focus, my only focus, is Stranger Danger and Stranger Things 2. So thank you guys for listening. And really, we don't have to worry about the Demogorgon anymore. So until next time. Beware that shadowy creature. I know we have a name for it. maybe I'll start using it. Yeah, maybe I will. Until next time, beware the mind flayer. I shouldn't be drinking coffee this late.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.